The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander. Danny's in for Kelly. Danny's behind the glass now because, ladies and gentlemen, by popular demand, and by popular I mean, oh dear God, it's Steve Fezzik. Fezzik Fridays, let's go.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
I only say oh dear God because I just want you to have a clean, non-cursing approach to today's hour.
Is that what it is?
You stay for an hour today, maybe?
Absolutely.
Okay. Steve Fezzik, everybody. At Fezzik Sports, follow him at your own peril on Twitter. Everything going well on Twitter? Everything peachy over there?
Twitter is not a good place.
It says a guy who dispenses much criticism on Twitter. Do you think that you're part of that being a bad place, or are you talking about something much more nefarious?
Oh, I'm just trying to be a better, kinder person in my old age. By the way, I want to wish Todd Wishnev, luck. Apparently he's joined the Gilligan's Island tennis tour. Setback, he dropped his match to the Skipper.
He did.
But he's going to come back against Marianne later this week, I think.
Skipper is his buddy in Pittsburgh who texted me and just was killing Todd about his tennis game. Todd today, of course, telling us how feathery his volleys are. Let me start with, you were making some bets on the group exchange. One of them was on the Atlanta Braves to win the NL East.
Set up Atlanta plus 150 to win the NL East.
Set it up.
This is an homage to Right Angle Sports. Go. We are betting the Braves plus 150. This is a bet to win the East, and it is an example of pre-flop. The anchor on the only three teams that really can win on the Mets, the Phillies, and Atlanta were all lined in the high 80s. Atlanta was the lowest of the three because they had some injuries during the spring. Well, now we've got 20 games worth of data, and the Phillies are scuffling. The Mets can't play a lick, and the Braves are raking. And the key here is not just that the Braves have opened up a nice lead, run differential. Joe Pita 101, and I love Joe Pita. Mm. The Dodgers and the Braves are like 1A and 1B. They are both like plus 45 run differential, so they are styling. But the Dodgers have the best record in baseball because they perform like they should, and Atlanta has actually gotten unlucky. Atlanta's the best team by margin. They're going to win this division.
Joe Sheehan was on earlier on the show, and he was. I asked him the question, are there some teams sort of off the radar that the casual bettor wouldn't necessarily gravitate towards that could make a postseason, or that's way better than people think they are? One of his responses, he didn't choose to answer it that way necessarily at the top. He chose to answer it as, well, it's actually, for him, it was some of these teams that are underperforming early are likely to go back to what their pre-flop sort of prognostication was. You took umbrage with that.
Completely disagree. Shocker. And here's why. Joe was saying, and what he says makes logical sense, that someone who's underperforming, the market will overreact to their poor performance, and then there'll be value. The problem is the market is not reacting to their performance. The market still thinks that the Mets and the Phillies are the same team they were back on March 28th. So you look at the season win number right now, the Mets are playing god-awful. They're 85.5. They're way below 500. Philly is 87.5. These numbers have barely budged despite you have to lower the power ratings on both these teams. But the odds makers aren't doing it. They're anchoring their projected wins the rest of the year based upon where they were on March 31st. And that is beyond flawed because what Joe says would make sense if the market completely was reacting to their poor performance. It's not even budging.
It's not reacting yet, right?
Yes.
So I do understand what are you saying. But yes, and on a daily basis, it's not reacting either, really.
Exactly right. Yeah. And inevitably, there will be some teams that will go ahead and off a poor start straighten themselves out or vice versa. But I would argue a crappy team like Colorado or the White Sox are much more likely to start performing better because they know they're not any good. So they're not going to get crushed or they're not going to have a divided locker room But when you get a team that's supposed to be good, like a Red Sox or a Mets, and they're playing in a major metropolitan area, and they're supposed to be in contention, and then they're crap. Now, all of a sudden, you got these added media distractions and locker room issues. The wheels can just come off.
You don't think that you go too quickly with the small sample size? Because what you're saying makes sense, because what you care about the most is the market itself. For you, it's all about pricing. Do you think you go a little too far sometimes with the directional stuff in a small sample
Not
size?
At all. This has been one of my most profitable things. Okay. I've done this for years. Like, there was a year, you know, I bet a lot of season wins.
Yeah.
There was a year the Reds started out like 0-8, and they were supposed to be a 500 team. And people are like, oh, they'll be fine. No, they're not going to be fine. They're terrible. And especially when you not just have a bad record, but you have a bad performance in runs scored versus runs allowed, you have to react. And I would argue the odds maker's lazy. He's worried about whether Iga's going to win today and not worried about like how good are these teams. I mean, like the Twins and the Cards, for instance, both those teams are supposed to stink, but they don't stink. But the market is just having a hard time embracing the fact that these are not like 69 win teams.
Breakpoint Svatek, by the way. All right, let's go to the NBA play-ins tonight. Stevie, no surprise, he's got opinions on this as well. You said normally these play-in games are really good under opportunities. What hath changed, sir?
I'm not so sure these are elimination games. Oh, it's an elimination game for Charlotte because they'd like to make the playoffs. They've had a great year. They can contend. Do these other teams, does Orlando really...
Oh, you're not sure they aren't elimination games.
I think Orlando's already been eliminated. And they're just out there. I think Phoenix has already been eliminated. What is the incentive to go out and get a win and get your teeth kicked in 4-0 in the next series? And so the normal idea of, especially in a double elimination game, like a Game 7, we play under. And that's been very profitable. This is not like a Game 7 under. It is for Charlotte because this is a very important game, but not for Orlando and certainly not for these teams in the West that already, as Charles Barkley would say, have their golf clubs packed.
All right, so let me try to clarify this. So normally you would like the unders in play-in games, but what you're suggesting is that with the exception of the Charlotte Hornets, that the Warriors, the Suns, the Magic, particularly the Magic, that they know that if they advance... they're all going to get crushed. And so, therefore, they will play the play-in games in a more haphazard way than they would have if they believe that they legitimately had a chance at a subsequent series.
Spot on. Happy action, fun time. Let's just roll out there and try to get Curry 40 points and have a good old time.
There's going to be some people listening to that, Steve. You understand who are going to be like, come on, they're professional athletes. They believe they can win. You got to be kidding me. There's going to be pushback to that opinion.
I can't understand how anyone... You can push back to the degree that they're going to feel this way. But
it
anyone
still
who,
shouldn't make you want to play an under, though.
Anyone who thinks that any Golden State player thinks they have a legitimate chance to make the NBA Finals is just not living in a reality world. I mean, they know it's over. They lost when they were like a 73-win team in the playoffs.
If Draymond walked in this room right now and said, What did you say, sir? What would you say to him?
I would probably say something that would get him one or two technicals because he's the career leader in technical fouls. Great defensive player, though.
Let me tell you something.
He's not good for the over.
You would not say what you just said in front of Draymond. I was at Carbone, I don't know which Warriors championship it was, the third or the fourth, but they flew into Vegas and they had
I'll take the over on the calories consumed Draymond that night.
They had their celebratory dinner after they did their parade in Oakland. Then they had the dinner at Carbone. And the guy behind the bar was telling me, he was like, yeah, hey, if I were you, I would go to the bathroom right now. Like, he was trying to hint at where the players were because they had an Anyway, I was going to say something. Anyway, I ran, not in the bathroom, but I ran in the front entrance right into Draymond. He has a countenance where I fist pumped Draymond. I'm like, I'm just going to keep walking. You could tell, like, he is very non-approachable and... you wouldn't want to have that conversation
like
with him.
Forrest Whitaker in the movie Fast Times of Ridgemont High. He was a high schooler lineman that just destroyed people. And Damone, the ticket scalper, pretended he was best friends with Forrest Whitaker. And he says, You're keeping that car up great. It's great to see you. And he looks at him and disdainly says, don't fool with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you were looking for a Fast Times at Ridgemont High reference, you got one. All right. I like that you have an Atlanta Braves play as well to win the NL East. You have some UFL plays for us.
I think I do. I have just one. It's tonight.
Just one. Tonight.
Yeah, so we're going to take the Columbus Aviators.
Sure.
I don't know how they can be aviators when they're 70 miles from Dayton, Ohio. It should be the Dayton Flyer Aviators, but I digress. One team's 3-0, one team's 0-3, but you know what? These two teams just played last week, and Columbus was catching 9, and they hung right in there, and they lost by 5, and now the two teams play again, and now the game's in Columbus. And they are catching 5.5 points. So we're on the Aviators plus the 5.5.
Okay. All right.
Aviator. They won the box score last week. They were like plus 50 in yardage.
How are you doing on the UFL?
I like 2-2. I barely bet it at all. Yes.
All right. But you like betting stuff like that.
Well, I talk about how the market has gotten very efficient and no one wins playing MLB sides the day of the game into the traditional sportsbook lines. That is not the case at these lesser sports and golf matchups, tennis matches, the lesser spring football. Those are all very beatable markets.
Okay. You alluded to something there we should probably talk about. Prediction markets versus legalized. Let's talk about that. Also, we haven't talked about in a while? Top-down betting versus bottom-up betting. So we'll discuss that with Steve Fezzik. And oh, one more thing. We never really get an opportunity to discuss this with him, but since WrestleMania 42.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, God. WrestleMania, baby! Why did I even step into it? This man remembers WrestleMania 1, for God's sakes. We'll do that. Fezzik, numbers game, right here at Visa. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the playoffs, every game matters, and so does every bet. VSiN Pro gives you daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video and show replays on the VSiN Watch app. So you're ready before the postseason begins. Get ahead of the action now. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual subscription. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets, beat of the book. Y'all are the best. Best listeners in the game. Seriously. Joe C714 said, I haven't tweeted in a while. Took on another challenge. Barbecue restaurant. Love the show. Anytime VSiN in Newport Beach. Meals on me. Oh, Danny. Oh. This will be live on the road. Sounds numbers good. Game. Newport Beach, California. We got ribs. Look at that thing. Chance Copperpot. The Kelce DraftKings thing with Ty Simpson is very interesting. You can get Ty to go to the Rams on Kelce for plus 239. Or you can find Rams to take a quarterback with their first pick for 12-1 at DraftKings. Yeah, that was the thing. When I got to Kelce, the number on tie to go straight to the Rams was not good at all. Joe DeFan, I completely agree with Paul Carr. Hope he feels better. Man City moneyline, Nottingham Forest, Burley, under 2.5 goals, Tottenham draw, no bet. Oh, okay. That's different. Primetime, Leon Sanders, yo, hey, man. I says I do declare shenanigans coming from Fezzik. Everyone knows next Thursday night he'll be glued to NFL draft coverage with Masters app opened on his phone watching highlights from last week. I make the line even. Even money. Pardon me. We've done all we can do. Thank you, Primetime Leon Sanders. Lance S. points out, Lance Jones IQ, says, wind is blowing out at Wrigley. Two home run props can hit on these days. Nico Horner red hot. Ladder his total bases. One home run is plus 950. Two homers, 175-1 on FanDuel. But most guys are 40-1 or higher for two home runs. Roll those dice. All right, Lance. Brian Schaefer, 31. I've heard everybody on the Hornets tonight. Not one person I've heard said they like the Magic, just like the Warriors the other day. Might have to take the Magic at home with the points. Yeah, but there's you know this, Brian. There's a big difference. The reason I went on with Femi and Will the other day and mentioned that, I was like, hey, everybody, including Carl Sack, right, is on the Clippers, and I just refused to partake. I actually grabbed the Warriors with the number. because it's the Warriors, man. And I think I'm going to be on the Warriors again tonight against the Suns, taking the points because it's Steph and it's Draymond and it's those veterans. The Magic look terrible. So even like even the Hornets Hardos, man, if they don't win that one tonight, I shall have sympathy for them. Matt Warrior 13, Bears stole my thunder, but I believe the Rams are the team. Also, possibly a big draft day trade by them. And Mr. Masterline, oh, Kentucky Derby in 2 weeks. What did I say? Oh, yeah, 2 weeks. It's April 17th, for God's sakes. First Saturday in May, my bad.
May 2nd.
I'm acting like the draft is tonight and then the Derby's right here. The draft is in 6 days and then it's the Derby. Pardon me. What did I say? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the week after. Chris Felica, speaking of that, joins us. We have to get to the business of Arsenal and Man City first with Chris Felica, the Bear, who you can follow on Twitter at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A. He's got the Bear Bets podcast over there, multiple sports. When's the next one, first of all, Chris? Next Bear Bets pod?
Tuesday, where we will have a draft analyst on. I do not know who it's going to be right now. We're trying to sort that out. But yeah.
TBD. Okay.
Yeah, TBD, but we'll have one out on Tuesday night.
So before we get to the horse races, what's your Man City Arsenal play?
I played under 2.5. If you've looked at Arsenal's form lately, I mean, they played an absolute dog garbage match the other day in Champions League against Sporting. Arsenal really just need to draw this match. If they get a point here, they will be in really good shape to avoid that 3-6-0 kind of denomination. If they can get the lead to 7, which in reality would be 4, and they would have to stumble again, they'd be in a much better position. If Arteta, the Arsenal manager, could put 5 midfielders and 5 fullbacks, defenders on the pitch with no attacking players, that's probably what he would do on Sunday afternoon. They really just need a draw. I don't even think they're going to try and win. I think they're going to bunker down and just try and absorb pressure. And if they get a counter chance, fine. Under 2.5 feels like a very good bet. So it feels like if Arsenal could walk out of here 0-0 or 1-1, they would take that in a heartbeat.
Okay, there it is. Great analogy by you too with the Red Sox Yankees sort of come from behind thing. Very end of the season again. Man City, as Chris said, 6 points behind Arsenal. Atop the table, but Man City has 1 game in hand, and of course they're head-to-head this weekend, so they could be tied by Wednesday. Okay, horse racing today. Let's give us some winners, sir. What do you got?
Yeah, you guilted me into a couple of picks before. We'll go to Keeneland, the fourth race, just a basic maiden race at Keeneland. I want the number 7 horse, Weetamoo, was 5-2 in her debut at Gulfstream. Last month in the good part of the Gulfstream meet, Todd Pletcher horse did not run very well at all. Now cuts back to 7 furlongs. Fabian Pratt up 6-1 morning line. Todd Pletcher, second time out, having a really good Keeneland meet. I certainly like this horse much better than I do the. Much like I talked about last week in the Lexington, where I thought the favorite was a total bet against and a bad favorite, and the horse that I liked unfortunately got scratched. And the favorite, I think, is still running. The favorite on the rail here, Mighty Nora, the one horse. I think this horse is a very, very, very vulnerable favorite. So if you don't like my horse, Weetamoo the 7, certainly try and find an option for you to beat that horse. And then the other race I got for you today is at Aqueduct, the 7th race. It is the Plenty of Grace Stakes. I went with the number 3 horse, Relax, with 2 X's. Miguel Clement is off to a good start at Aqueduct. This is a horse he's had come in from Europe. He's had the horse a little while, so they've kind of been pointing a little bit to this. Couple of Chad Browns in here. Another Mark Cassie in here, who's favorite as well. But I think Clement does really well with these first-time horses in North America, these European imports that come in, and he throws them into stakes races. So I think the number 3 horse, Relax, at 5-1 on the morning line is a play for me as well.
All right. Keeneland today, number 7. Keeneland race number 4, number 7 horse, Weetamoo.
Yes.
That's Wheat, W-E-E-T-A-Moo, A-M-O-O, at 6-1. And then an Aqueduct, race number 7, the number 3 horse, as Chris points out. Relax with 2 X's, not with 1 X, Danny, nor with 3 X's. Not triple X
either. Definitely not 3X, even though with Fezzik coming up next hour, we could really need to put the 3X warning label on that final hour of the show.
Potty mouth that he is. Okay, now to the Derby, which I was correctly correctly corrected, if you will, that it is not in 8 days, it's 15 days. Draft in 6 days, Derby in 15, the Run for the Roses.
The Derby is the first Saturday in May every year,
right.
Just in case you needed to know that.
I know. I got excited because it was May 2nd, right? It's early this year.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, oh my
very
God.
Early.
I felt like yesterday was a Friday. I have no idea where I am at any moment.
Me too.
Didn't you feel that way yesterday? It was a Friday.
I think it did. I guess maybe it was so nice here in the Northeast. Finally,
that's what it was here.
Made some nice steaks for dinner, and it was warm and like just relaxing for the moment. And I'm like, oh wow, it's Thursday.
It's Thursday. I had to remind myself a couple times about that yesterday. I think it is weather related. Also, was the podcast too? Felt like we were going to the weekend. Anyway, we get to the Derby. We've heard a bunch of stuff from you and Drew. You and Drew do a great job with this. But as the time has gone on, this is shifting a little bit, at least it is from my listening perspective. Where are you now with this?
I have the future on Renegade at 15-1. And you hear things and you have connections, and Drew and I both, and you just hear rumblings about Renegade not coming out of the Arkansas Derby in a great place. Whether he was lame, just sore, didn't put weight back, who knows? Workouts, interpretation of your workout, it's good, it's bad, is there something wrong with the hind, whatever. But you hear these rumblings, and it just leads me to want to look somewhere else right now. And I know at the Superbook, Commandment was 6-1, and you can get a fixed price on Commandment at 6-1. That might be worth the play, because if for some reason these rumors about Renegade are true, Commandment's price is going to go down in the parimutuel pool come Derby Day. So I think if you can lock in Commandment at 6-1 right now, that's probably something worth doing. Of course, won the Fountain of Youth, won the Mucho Macho Man, won the Fountain of Youth, won the Florida Derby, swept all the big three Florida Derby prep races. He's got a nice off-the-pace running style, and for Brad Cox and the connections here, I think we'll talk about this more when you, me, Fornital, Samich, whoever else we have on for the Derby preview. Commandment hitting the board is probably going to be the way I strategize my Derby bets, where I'll play Commandment first, second, and third with other horses in the middle. But just my concerns about Renegade, if he unfortunately scratches, or the rumors about him maybe not being great, Commandment is going to be a very logical backup horse, and that 6-1 will be closer to 3-1, 7-2.
Okay,
so lock in 6-1 right now if you can.
All right, you're still bullish on Chief Wallaby as well?
I am. Yeah, okay. That's the other horse that I like, but I think you were going to be able to get a good price on Chief Wallaby in the Derby. There are a lot of people who are kind of like questioning why Bill Mott is adding blinkers to this horse. If Bill Mott is deciding to add blinkers to Chief Wallaby, there's a reason why, and I will support Bill Mott to the death.
Chris Velika, everybody. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Ben Wilson, tennis, college baseball, more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Cirque Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander. Danny Higgins,
Danny,
in for Kelly Bidlin. Michael Simmer, are the 8 days for the Run for the Roses in metric? Seems like 15. Yeah, no, I've got corrected on that. Dell Mind the Gap Radio, Pavlovian is my Derby pick, 40-1, likely. This horse has been tested in two preps, Sunland and the Louisiana Derby. Wow. Okay. Tronsky, hey Gil, your girl Iga got broken first game out. This match with Andreeva in Stuttgart should hopefully be a good battle. Need to see how her new coach is working out. Thank you, and thank the Bears, pointing out, for being one of the few that covers tennis. Thank you, and think this Bear is... I don't know, I think there's a typo in there. But yes, you know, speaking of tennis and Iga slander, which I believe that tweet was flirting with, Ben Wilson joins us now from his lair somewhere here in the desert, Las Vegas, Nevada. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow Ben on Twitter. This is always troubling. He's got a lot of underscores on this.
Sorry.
It's Ben_Wilson_1. That's the number one. And again, in the without Bonatoni market, he will be the most famous person in the history of VSiN. How you doing, Ben?
I'm great. Iga minus 141 live down an early break. I mean, you get a discount.
Stuttgart. Have you been first of all? Let me just. There's a couple things we have to talk about before we get launch in anything. Danny Higgins is your tenant at your place here in Las Vegas. Is that correct? We heard a
Yes. I'm really trying hard to make this. I'm trying to become the Ehrlich Bachman of Southwest Las Vegas and turn this into the VEASAN incubator. But Danny has been an absolute model tenant. Done a great job. He even has little Ravens. Like a little Ravens night lamp thing in the kitchen counter. It's just great.
I had to add that because we, in the living room, we got Ben's guy, these Packers and his Brewers. So I had to bring a little, little purple into the house.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Ben, I want to cut to the chase. You appear to me, the word on the street is you're an aggressive landlord, that you called Danny at one point to see if he was there, if you could come. He did not. He was asleep. He did not answer the phone. You decided you would walk in anyway and barge in on him. Do you know that he's a former police officer and that could have ended ugly? You can't do that as a landlord.
I'm very aware, yes. Danny runs a tight ship over there, and that is by design. We encourage that sort of thing. So, no, I am honored to have Danny looking watch over the place.
Aggressive landlording from Ben Wilson.
Aggressive.
Yes. All right, so now you're in town. Why?
NLL lacrosse for me tomorrow night. ESPN Plus, TSN Plus for our Canadian friends. It's actually a big weekend. It's the end season finale here. So I have San Diego and Las Vegas tomorrow, and those two are trying to battle it out for the final couple playoff spots here in the National Lacrosse League, where eight of the 14 teams get in.
Is it ever going to – is it your opinion, because for those of us who grew up in the mid-Atlantic region of the country, there was always a thought that one day lacrosse is just going to be massive. How can the rest of the world not understand what we here in the mid-Atlantic, talking Johns Hopkins, Maryland, North Carolina country, how we know something that the rest of the world doesn't? Do you believe that it will ever grow to a point beyond – I don't know. I mean, obviously beyond where it is now, but do you think it ever gets huge?
So I was having this conversation actually with one of my producers for a different network. His name's Fred Cambria, won a national title in the 70s for Syracuse as playing lacrosse. And I was telling him about doing the NLL stuff and how the league is set up. And I'm like, hey, they're really bullish, growing the game, all these new markets. And he just laughed. He's like, buddy, they've been saying that for 50 years. So I kind of defer to the people who have been around the game. Look, there's a lot of money involved. So Joe Tsai owns the Las Vegas and San Diego teams. He's a big lacrosse guy, also owns as many know, the Brooklyn Nets. There's been a big infusion of cash, but at the same time, I mean, 95%+ of the players in box lacrosse, particularly, which is what the National Lacrosse League is, unlike the Premier Lacrosse League, which is all outdoor, box lacrosse is almost entirely Canadian. So the viewership is mostly Canadian. A lot of the teams are Canadian. You've got a ton of money, though, into markets like Georgia and San Diego and Las Vegas. But it still kind of seems to me, when you talk to people who've been around for a while and when you hear that kind of refrain of, buddy, they've been trying to grow, they've been saying the same thing for 50 years. Yep. It makes me a little pessimistic. I mean, I love covering the sport. It's really fun to watch as an in-person, viewing vehicle. But I don't know if maybe there's a cap to the amount of growth that they can potentially have just because of the historical precedent and all that.
Gotcha. Okay. Ben operates in a world of what we in the betting world call other sports, right? Yes. So it's lacrosse. What were you just doing a spot for? Moto? What was that? What you were just doing?
Yeah. So this is actually my second year. I've been a host of a weekly betting show for Moto America, which is the kind of top level professional motorcycle classification in the U.S. And they actually just signed a betting deal last year. They're now on, you can bet them on DraftKings, FanDuel, a lot of the major sports books. And it represents kind of a fascinating place where we're at in the industry, where you have a lot of these kind of niche sports who are certainly leaning into the growing legalization of betting because they obviously want to grow their market share, their audience reach and all that. But what's fascinating to me is that what's happening is, it's not like DraftKings that's trading and looking at the odds and breaking down timesheets for Moto America. It's sort of a third-party analytics site that is, however they're doing it, they're coming up with the odds. A lot of times those odds are, and we'll see this as we get into the year, the season's just starting right now, but a lot of times those odds are just completely off because you know, it's like it's a very small sport. It's hard to follow a lot of the upgrades and the changes and all the things that go on throughout a season. And yet you can bet on this stuff. The issue is it seems like, from the people I've talked to, it seems to be a great way to get yourself extremely limited or your account banned, because, you know, you put one $50 bet in on Moto America on DraftKings. And I say this kind of anecdotally because I've heard of people who have reached out to us who have done this. And they say, hey, we found an edge here. We talked about like a head-to-head edge that you guys gave out, where we had this last year, like two riders were on completely different types of bikes. One was uncompetitive, and yet they were lined at like minus 130 to, you know, plus 110. And we bet it, and we won, and all of a sudden the account got limited. So that is this fascinating dynamic right now, guys, where more sports are trying to get involved in the betting space. These operators are willing to take it on, but at unbelievably low limits, no matter who you are. And it kind of seems to be like this fallacy of, oh, we're offering it, but oh, we're actually not really offering it in, you know, in a real life sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, we're seeing it with the NFL draft, right? You know, Circa just put out, what, 15 props?
I think a few more, yeah. But a few more now.
The straddle is massive. The limits are low. Yeah. So it's pervasive. But I definitely...
By the way, Iga just broke... I just want to say, as the guy who has been unfairly named... And I lean into it. I lean into it because I'm an entertainer. I'm all about the narrative. As someone who has been painted as the Iga slanderer of all slanderers, and it all happened because one time I was filling in for you, Gil, and I made a pretty benign statement, just that on hard courts, I felt like Aryna Sabalenka and Iga Świątek were basically the same ilk of player, if not Sabalenka, slightly better, and Chris the Bear Felica texted me saying, you are right on that statement.
You're both right.
I have been named the slanderer. Well, I just said, you know, maybe you buy low, and she just broke back on Andreeva.
Thank you. Ben, you're all forgiven. By the way, do you have any Open men or women? Do you have any bets? Do you think it's Sinner and Iga, or do you think it's somebody else?
I certainly think we end up, I mean, it's so hard to not to kind of go against the grain as much as I want to, as far as like another Sinner Alcaraz kind of crash course. You know, the one thing that's just been jumping out to me, and you know, I watch a lot of tennis, and you kind of watch and then you compare to how the betting market is looking at certain players. We've all been super high on João Fonseca. I think he's still like the fifth or sixth favorite. I saw him 30-1 when I checked a few minutes ago. I don't know if, and, you know, maybe last year, like we were just kind of ahead of our skates, and it was one of those rare players, and Mira Andreeva was another example of this, where you heard so much about before you got to see a lot just because of the way they came up. But I don't know. I wonder if Fonseca is still being, you know, super aggressively priced. And I realize clay is a better surface for him. But I guess it kind of lends into the fact that in today's day and age of men's tennis in particular, you're so used to just these guys now who are not only big servers, but also cover so much ground or so athletic because of the length, because of the reach. Fonseca, you know, when you actually watch him, doesn't necessarily reflect that kind of style. Like, I just found myself surprised the way people talked about him was a little bit different to the way, you know, I see him when you actually watch him play. Now, sure, I could say this, he could have a really nice run, get into the second week at the French, but I still wonder if he's being just aggressively priced still, because it does feel like when he has that step up in competition and plays, you know, the really rock solid top 10 players, it is a big time struggle for him still. So that's just been kind of floating in my brain here as we get ready for the French, or I'm sure he'll be a popular quarter pick, so to speak.
I think that tracks, right? I think both he and Mira Andreeva were like that, where that's people are so anxious to get a new name to topple those at the top, right? And it's probably a little premature. They'll get there one day, right? Yeah. They'll both probably win a slam. At least at some point. You never know with on the men's side, really. Really, I shouldn't be that confident. We saw a whole generation not be able to win a slam with the big three. But yes, I think you're probably right that both got ahead. Because these guys at the top and these girls at the top, they're not trying to let go of their mantle, that's for sure. Ben, with college baseball, the three teams to keep an eye on, that's next. And more with Ben Wilson. Fezzik as well. Numbers Game, Beast, and the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on the Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Derek Stevens, Shangri-La in the desert. Skill Alexander, Steve Fezzik alongside Stevie with a bonus segment today. There we go. Let me just recap some of the bets here. I am on the Dubs. Dub show tonight. I got this yesterday at +3.5, -115 at the Suns. Let's do it one more time, Steph. One more time. Reds, most wins March, April, 35-1. Bad loss for the Reds yesterday to the Giants. Looking for the sweep in that series. Couldn't quite get there. And then Mason Miller, who we talked about extensively earlier on the show, 40-1 to win the National League Cy Young Award.
That's going
to
win.
You think it's going to win?
You know why it's going to win? Because there's nobody good that's a starter.
Well, that they need, well, it's not that there's nobody good, but they do, yeah. But for that to get home, it does need for that to be an accomplice.
No one's
right?
going to be dominant.
Yes. I don't know. Have you heard of this guy in Pittsburgh? He's pretty good. My NFL draft bets. I got a plenty of them. Stevie doesn't like it, but I do. David Bailey, second overall pick, +230. Jordan Tyson, second wideout receiver selected. That's from Luke Swain, -125. Kenyon Sadiq, draft position, under 15.5, +115. Caleb Downs, draft position, over 9.5, +164. Ty Simpson, draft position, under 24.5 at +300. Reuben Bain Jr., draft position, under 8.5, +195. And then a few big juicers. Vega Ioane, draft position, over 14.5, -160. Jeremiah Love, under 5.5, -170. And Dylan Thieneman, draft position over 17.5 at -160, expected to go to the Vikings at 18. Danny Higgins, Danny, he's also on Kenyon Sadiq, draft position under 15.5, +140. His Ravens to draft Sadiq at 5-1. Total wideouts drafted in the first round under 5.5 from Danny, and total quarterbacks drafted in the first round under 1.5. Oppo Fezzik at +115. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Also had plays from Paul Carr in absentia. Paul was not feeling well in the old hotel room today in Denver. We hope he gets better soon. Coming off a sweep. Tomorrow, Brighton, +140 at Tottenham in the Prem. And then Sunday in the Prem, Everton, Liverpool, under 2.5 goals. And the big one, Man City to beat Arsenal. You ever seen the Beyonce video where she tries to pronounce Arsenal and Tottenham? It's hilarious. Tottenham. Very good. Joe Sheehan, Rays, most wins in March, April at 45-1. I don't know what the price is on that now, but the Rays definitely in the mix. With 11 wins, like my red legs. Problem is, the Dodgers have 14 of them. That's not fun. Chris Felica, Ty Simpson to be selected by the Rams, specifically 6-1. Arvel Reese, draft position under 2.5, +105. And he is playing the under in the Arsenal-Man City match this weekend on Sunday, under 2.5 goals from Chris. He's also got commandment to win the Kentucky Derby at 6-1. He likes that price. And today, horse racing today from Felica, Keeneland. Race number 4, the number 7 horse, Weedamoo, 6-1. And at Aqueduct, race number 7, the number 3 horse, Relax, with 2 X's at 5-1. That's from Felica, the bear. Steve Fezzik, the man to my left. Braves to win the NL East, +150. In the UFL, he's got Columbus, +5.5 versus Dallas. Is that today?
It is.
It is. Okay. And then total quarterbacks drafted in the first round, over 1.5. Oppo Danny Higgins at -110 from Stevie. Okay.
You'll notice we have a scalp here. So bookmaker has over 1.5 at -110, but Circa has under 1.5, +115. So even with these super high
we have scalp.
Straddles, that was still a scalpable bet that is out there. So you can make money in the draft doing nothing but just surfing different books.
Before we leave here today, we got to give multiple shout-outs. For different reasons to a bunch of folks we know. One, you wanted to send a shout out to our buddy Joe Pita.
Love Joe Pita. So Joe came on, gave out 11 season win bets, and he is the perfect combination of math geek along with very successful Wall Street trader without any kind of pretense of thinking that he's like the world's greatest at what he does, even though he might be, right there. And very generous with his time with your show. And Joe's actually doing a little special project with my son. And he is just donating his time.
I love it.
To talk about a Wall Street meets sports betting, prediction markets exchanges with my son. And so fantastic. Great job by Joe.
You know what's so great about that? You and I would want to be on that call just to listen in. Don't eavesdrop. Let your son have that call by himself, by the way.
No, he's gonna do it at school. But I have not yelled at my son in years, and I yelled at him the other night.
Why'd you yell at him?
He said to me, I said, "Oh, great news! I think Joe's gonna have time to be able to talk to you and mentor you." And he said to me, "My son, this is the dumbest thing he's ever said. what could I possibly learn from Joe that I couldn't learn from AI?
And I said,
well, all the more reason that you absolutely now.
Did you really raise your voice and stir?
I said, do you think someone could just like go on and read AI for like who needs Steve Fezzik to tell you how to win betting on gambling and betting on sports? You just go to AI and they'll show you what all the sharp plays are and you'll just print money and double your bankroll every year.
Let me tell you something, Steve Fezzik Jr. I know his name, but I don't know if you want me to say his name. Joe Pita, because you sort of echoed what I said off air. Joe Pita is the perfect combination of intelligence and still being a human being. In other words, I know people who have tremendous intelligence, lots of people, but they are, not my kind of person. I'll just leave it at that.
And to be fair, those not my kind of people actually really probably are the very, very best in the world at sports betting, because it's kind of like, you know what? When you're not distracted by being a human being, makes you a Terminator.
There is
John Connor.
A lot of truth to what you're saying right there. So shout out to Joe Pita for spending time with your son. That's awesome. Let's shout out Carl Sack, because Carl Sack, who runs Killer Sports, he came up with the idea last year to do the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge. There was 30 of us or 20 of us? I can't remember. I think, oh, let's go with 20. You won it. Steve Fezzik winning that as well.
Not bad for a guy who can't name a player.
Contest chaser that he is.
I'm good at contests.
You won. I want to say again, Zach was second, Kazarian third. I was fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Carl is doing it again, though not on VSiN's website. Carl is doing it at Killer Sports.
And Carl sent me a trophy. Think about how great this is. Not just the prize money. Yeah. He went out of his time.
Yes.
Out of his day.
He's a great dude.
Designed a trophy, had someone make it, mailed it to me. What a great gesture.
All right, it's going to be contest.killersports.com. Contest.killersports.com. I don't know if you know this, but the playoffs start tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah. I had to remind myself just now.
ANG exclusive there?
Yeah, it's a special numbers game investigation.
I love that.
Yeah, that's going to happen. So we'll do that. Shout out to Carl. And then the third one, I know we've talked about this ad nauseum, but I want to shout out our boy Todd Wishnev one last time before we go here. He's Todd, of course, with 180-plus unit season in college basketball, famously. But we were just talking about, you know, what are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
Todd had a video clip, and he's at the Pirate game.
Yeah.
And he goes, this inning's brought to you by Fezzik political views. We don't research anything, but we have very strong opinions.
Yeah, I got one too. I got a roast also. So we're just talking about like, you know, the types of bettors, bottom up, top down. Todd, I don't know what you would even care. I don't even know what you classify him as, because he's neither of those two things, really. Right?
He's
certainly not bottom up, but he kind of is bottom up in his own way.
I really think he's bottom up.
Yeah, maybe he is bottom up.
He's bottom up, but he's much more. Bottom up.
We're
in
talking
terms
about
of
betting. If anybody's just tuning in right
in
now,
in terms of base, he has an enormous bottom. But great calves. He's so nimble for a 290-pound man too. So nimble.
Great touch at the net.
Oh, it's just artistry. It's not that he's got power ratings on. He has his power ratings on teams and their tendencies, but he just knows situations. His brain recognizes this is the time I should be looking to bet an over in an MLB game, or this is the time I should be betting a pitcher in this circumstance to go under his strikeout
prop. He was on the other day. You appreciate the fact that he plays strikeout props. He's not necessarily playing sides or totals or anything like that.
Right, because everyone else is a content provider, and they're pretending to be a professional gambler, but they're like, well, so who do you like today? And they'll list, like, they'll go over the baseball card, and they'll list eight sides that they like. No one wins playing that way.
No one wins playing that way.
And people disagree with me, and it's like the movie The Running Man. Killian is lying to you. If you really think these people are winning, I'd be more than happy to bet that they, over their next 100 plays, day of the game, playing MLB sides, they can shop and take the best number on the screen in Vegas. And when I say nobody wins, people have winning seasons, but they're not going to win over the next 10 years. It's too hard.
Justin Edwards. So Fezzik hates the Masters and loves WWE. How do we tell him? He says, That's awesome. Noemio Doug says, I can't remember any bet I've made. As Albert Einstein said, I chose not to clutter my mind with easily accessible information. That's my explanation of my bad memory. The Crusher was my 7-year-old hero. Damn those Klamikov brothers. And Keith Flanagan says, Gil, I'm a meteorologist for the Department of Defense. We track metrics and have to maintain an accuracy rate of 75% or we are decertified. I'm not sure if it's the same on the civilian side, but I wanted you to know that we do have standards. Keith, I appreciate it.
All right, Keith, get a hold of us, because if you can let us know when that rain's going to hit in the game in Hattiesburg, I'd appreciate it very much.
Yeah, there you go. Prop Points is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.